When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects in the world, and that's podcasting. And we have an expert in the field with us who not only has his own great podcast, he helps people set up their own. So we're really going to have a great discussion with this. So please join me in welcoming Adam Hami to our program today. Welcome, Adam.
It's going to be a good time here. We're going to have ourselves a lot of fun. This is one of my favorite topics as well, obviously.
We are going to have a blast. So let me tell people just a little bit about you, and then we will dive into this. So Adam Hami is a speaker, author, trainer, and consultant with nearly 20 years of experience helping business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion while making a difference for your community, market, and audience. Adam is the author of Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy, and a contributing author to Journeys to Success, the Millennial Edition, both international Amazon bestsellers. He has spoken on stages around the country for many years and is a sought-after expert on podcasting for entrepreneurs. As creator of the Reach System, Adam helps you exponentially reach more profitable customers. So again, Adam, welcome.
It's going to be a great time here. We're really going to delve into this podcasting thing. It's one of my favorite topics as well. And just take it away, Deb. You do fantastic work with your show, and I'm honored to be part of it.
Well, I was very honored to be on your program. So we've got the Mutual Admiration Society going here. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that can benefit people.
Yeah.
But I like to know from my guests how it is that they got to where they are today and how you discovered that this is your passion in life.
Well, podcasting being my passion in life, actually, it's kind of like my lifesaver when you think about it. Mm-hmm. I went through a period a few years ago where I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, so to speak. I had a business. I liked the clients, but I could have done without the work. Mm-hmm. When I looked into my future, I saw a blank screen. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what to promote, what mm-hmm. to market, what to attract, because I didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. However, I already had a podcast. It was about 3 years running at that point, called the Business Creators Radio Show. Mm-hmm. So that gave me, it was weekly episodes, so that was 52 new connections I made every year. Ah. 52 opportunities to do business, mm-hmm. and 52 marketing touch points with my audience, mm-hmm. and nurturing connections, awareness connections, any phraseology you want to use. Mm-hmm. This is one of the reasons I encourage people to get into podcasting, because it is something that is not only your key networking, client attraction, celebrity expert branding tool, it gives you the opportunity to explore new avenues without having to inject things into your current marketing stream with your prospects and subscribers.
Right. Well, you know, I've been doing this a long time. You know, we've hit episode 700 several weeks ago. So
you got me beat.
Now we do two a week, so that does kind of help. But, you know, one of the things that people always ask me is, why should I do a podcast? What are the benefits of it?
It depends on your goals, but here's what we do as far as the podcast reach system. When we work with small businesses and entrepreneurs to launch their business building podcasts, we are guiding them to have it serve three purposes for them. Number one, to be a networking tool. It's your way of making connections with people. Okay. I know at some point we're going to discuss how you and I first connected, and that'll be a good example of this. Client attraction. You can do all sorts of things, and I'm going to give you a couple examples of what not to do in just a second. And celebrity expert branding. I'll delve into that a little bit deeper. So networking is pretty obvious. Client attraction. Let's say you go on social media and you make these new connections, make these new friends, attract these new followers. Okay, what do you do with them? Do you immediately direct message them this long soliloquy that Or there's the ones that says, hey, I looked at your profile and I see that you just did a live stream. That's awesome. How are you today? Or you could lead with, hey, nice to meet you. I'm offering complimentary free strategy sessions. Okay, yeah, BS.
So is everybody else.
Take all those things that usually end up getting either ignored, red checked, or screenshot and made fun of in discussion forums, and replace that with, hey, Deb, great to make your acquaintance. I have a podcast. You want to be on it?
And I'm like, ooh, tell me more.
Yeah. You lead with reciprocity, you lead with giving value, and that's a great way to open the conversation. As we like to say, interviewing people on podcasts opens more conversations, it leads to more closed deals and more expanded opportunities. That's why I've been doing it for going on 10 years now. I have two shows that are currently live with a third one we're about to bring on as well. Now, celebrity expert branding. This goes to, and I know I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but there are so many elements of this. We get a number of objections to folks when we ask the question, why isn't everyone hosting a podcast? And objection number one we hear is, well, if I do interview-based episodes, well, then the interview is all about the other person. That's not about me. How does that grow my business? All right, here's the paradigm shift that's necessary. When somebody is a guest on your show, you are credentializing them by saying, this is a person I feel is worthy to be in as part of my lineup who I want to celebrate. They will credentialize themselves by celebrating the fact that they were on your show. When you create an awesome experience for your interview guest that makes them want to sing it from the mountaintops, they will do so. And that's how you expand your reach. That's how you get even more followers, more listeners, more connections over time. So I know I kind of went in a couple different directions there, but the bottom line is view your podcast as your key networking, client attraction, celebrity expert branding tool, where you serve from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion as you make a difference for your community, market, and audience.
Right. I love it. You know, and it's funny. One of the things that people ask me the most is, what do I get out of it? And, you know, and you just, you covered all of those right there. It is something where, yeah, it takes work. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute too. But, you know, it's, I'm making fantastic contacts. It hasn't been 700 guests that I've had on because we've had some duplicates, but it's probably 650 at least, maybe, somewhere around there. So fantastic contacts. They are hopefully, getting my information to their networks. But people are always saying, well, you know, how can you promote yourself when you're talking to someone else about their subject? And there's always ways that you can. I can say things like, well, you know, when I'm working with my clients, we do such and such. What about you? So it's not the me show. I mean, my job as the interviewer is to focus on my guest, but I can still get my information out there.
On one of my podcasts, the Business Creators Radio Show, these are also 60-minute episodes. Mm-hmm. And the ambiance we create for our listener is that they are sitting in on a private mastermind session.
It's a chat.
We urge them to have their pad of paper and two pens out to capture the aha moments that may naturally arise as they listen. Mm-hmm. And the way the interviews are structured is the guest will give me their suggested interview questions, which serve as the talking points. And one way or another, I'll cover whatever they want to cover. It may not be in that exact order because we go into sort of a natural flow. Mm-hmm. And you start to hear some of that back and forth, like, like you said something and now it's inspiring me.
Right.
So you end up getting a lot of storytelling and a lot of actual masterminding and brainstorming in some cases. I have, on more than one occasion, run something that I believe to be a best practice. I get in front for my guest or tell them how something went in my business and run it by my guests and get their thoughts on it.
There's
no reason you shouldn't do that. You touched on something just a moment ago, how to keep yourself in the conversation. In our podcast Reach to Some Curriculum, one of the things that we share is an entire section called the pre-editing process. The pre-editing process and the pre-editing system. This is how you simplify the process of conducting interviews and getting them produced by creating an amazing raw product that requires little to no editing whatsoever. Part of that involves hosting techniques on how to use your language, how to use your show flow, how to use other tactics to make the episode flow more smoothly, and also to get your own branding into it. And one of these is called seed-based marketing. I give credit to that term to Dream Business Coach Captain Jim Palmer. He may have gotten it from somewhere else as well.
But I've had him on the program. He's great.
I thought so. Small world. And this is simply the idea that you find ways to naturally insert stuff about yourself into your everyday conversation. Being so introverted and so far on the introvert scale, they had to make a new category on the left for me. You can imagine my feelings about small talk. So, hey, man, what's up? Not much. How about you?
You're done, right?
So, hey, you want to ask me what I'm up to? I'll tell you. Well, you know, this morning I appeared on the Power Hour podcast, and I told people about the seed-based marketing principle. That was a lot of fun. Also had a couple coaching calls with a couple of my reachers, and now what I've done here, just by answering the what's up question, is I've done a little seed-based marketing. Or I might say something just casually, like, you know, I was at the grocery store and I was trying to get out of there because I had a coaching call scheduled at 11 and just finished that sentence. It's like, oh, coaching call?
Right.
Being coached or doing coaching? So you use that tactic of seed-based marketing to just plant all kinds of little seeds. They don't have to be overt in your face. Buy my stuff now.
Yes.
Go to my link. You don't do that. You just subtly work into your everyday flow of speaking little things about the work that you do that leads people to get naturally curious about it. I find many times when I mention, I can meet you at 5 o'clock. I got a podcast episode at 4. Now I have to tell them about my podcast episode for 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the key is exactly what you were saying. It's developing things so that it is that chat. You know, you're just, you know, whether you're, you know, thinking about, you know, listening in as they're having coffee, or I was talking to someone the other day who's going to do an after 5 one so that they can have a little adult libations. I thought, oh, those conversations could get fun. Yeah. But it is, that's the way, and that's the way I like to do my programs. You know, I've had people who want things incredibly scripted. And I tell them, nah, that's not the way I do it. I ask for speaking points, subject matter, things like that. Right. You know,
You cannot get on my show unless you submit your suggested topic, your suggested interview questions. Yep. And my experience with your process is the same way. I think I actually might have ended up submitting it twice.
Yeah. You know, and but it's better to have it twice than not at all.
That's how I do it.
So, and I have been known because I've had people who have come back to me and said, well, we'll just talk about whatever you want. No. You wanted to be on my podcast for a specific reason.
You said cat.
Yeah, I know. I saw the cat. I love the cat. It got me sidetracked. This squirrel, right? And so, but yeah, they wanted to be on the podcast for a specific reason. And so they, you know, they have things that they want me to cover. And, you know, for another example, if they are an author and we're going to talk about their book, they have to provide me with a copy of their book. Now, it could just be a digital version. They don't need to spend money sending me a real one. But if I'm going to ask them intelligent questions about their book, I better have read it. And so, you know, it's about this preparation, but because you and I as hosts have prepared, then we're able to have this great conversation, and kind of lead them where we want to go. But yeah, I'm like you every once in a while that we just go totally off the rails with some of the conversations, but it's because it naturally went there. You know, they mentioned something that caught my attention or something like that, like your cat. I mean, you know, it's like, well, tell me, you know, why do you have a cat? things like that. It's just, it's that natural flow of conversation.
Why do I have a cat? Well, there are some questions that we're very careful about asking because we don't want to upset the kitty. No, Alessandra's a sweetheart. She's one of our feline office supervisory staff. She gets to hang out here. You mentioned something very interesting. So let's switch to guesting for just a moment because this does impact the host side of it. One of the things that we guide our clients through doing in the podcast reach system to set up an efficient intake process, which typically involves getting the information that you need to be able to effectively host your guests.
Right.
Examples can be, submit your suggested interview questions, submit your suggested interview topic. If you have a copy of your book, and I saw this on your form, if you have a copy of your book, upload it here. So these are just a few different examples. Now, I have seen cases where I, as a host, have gotten pitches that go on and on. Hey, I see you're the host of the Business Creators Radio Show. I think it's awesome. I've been binging your episodes. Bullshit.
Right. No, you haven't.
No, you haven't. Par is they noticed that the show had a title and the title had a meaning.
Right.
And what I'm eventually about to read about this pitch they're eventually going to make is on the same planet. That's par. Because you'd be amazed how many... and perhaps not, because you're a guest having hosted over 700 episodes, how many off-topic things do you get? And sometimes it rambles on and on and on. Okay, so the person likes to play Candyland, Monopoly, and Risk. Yeah, that's awesome. And they can speak with your audience on a wide range of topics, including A, B, C,
right. D, and they're general. Business.
Here are five episodes where they were recently featured, so you can check it out. Here it is. As hosts, when with such a plethora of available guests out there, there's so many more available guests than there are live podcasts with episode slots to fill. I'm going to assume that if you're asking to be on my show, that you know how to be an interview guest.
Right.
And that's for two reasons. Because you should function with integrity. Because I know how to handle situations to turn even bad episodes into great episodes. And if a guest is really awesome, I have no problem ending the interview. I'm just speaking candidly here. So I don't need to go through all that. And as far as why you're coming on my show, if you want to get booked faster, tell me what is your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. I don't want to hear so-and-so can speak on A, B, C, D, and E. Here are five episodes. They love to play board games and their life adventures. Okay. It's simple. Like, hi, my name is Deb. I'm looking to be on more podcasts. My topic is this something that will fit on your show? Let me know either way.
Yeah.
And if so, what is the process to get on? That will, and at least this is from a lot of other podcast hosts I speak with, get you a much faster response. As a host, I get approaches from agencies all the time that want to place your guests on the Business Creators Radio Show.
And they're paid to do that.
Which is great. And they're doing a job. Now, the first time they approach me will say, you know, please don't pitch us. Just fill out the application form. We'll get a faster response that way. And it tells us exactly what they need. If they keep doing it, then we have a different conversation.
They go on a different list.
Yeah. The point, and the reason I bring this, and let's circle back to the host now, is simply because we want to be of service to our community, market, and audience as well. We want to be of service to our guests. So the more, as a guest, you can make it easier for us to make a quick decision, the better for you. And the more that you can give us the guidance we need to make it an awesome experience, as far as you getting out your talking points, you having the spotlight properly trained on your intersection of your brilliance and your passion, and getting the episode titled the way that's going to benefit you most in search engine results. And we can go on and on and on with what's in it for the guests. The easier you make it for me to do that, the more likely you are to receive it. Just one final point before we move on to your next question here is there is sometimes a debate where folks will say, well, if I'm going to be on a podcast, why should I fill out a form? Why isn't my one sheet sufficient? I don't think I should have to fill out forms. My answer to this is real simple. If the host of the show wants you to fill out a form, then it's your decision whether you want to be on that show. They don't have to accommodate you for anything. I am not a morning person. I'm a night owl by a country mile. I hate video. And I really also, I can't remember what the third thing is, but there's a few things that I just don't really enjoy. Well, I had the opportunity about a year ago to be on a video podcast that was live, started at 7 a.m. Pacific.
Oh!
was video-based. And the best part is, it was one of those ones where it shows the Hollywood squares of everybody who's going to be on the show. And only about 5 minutes of it was about me. Now, as a guest, I could have said, I don't know. You know, if you want me on your show, this has got to be audio only. We got to pre-record it.
Yes, and I'm going to become a prima donna.
And I only have 15 minutes for you. That would have worked very well. You know what I did? I got extra wake-up calls to make sure that I was conscious by 6:30 in the morning so that I could make it. And I showed up and I sat there for the full 30 minutes and waited for my turn. You know why? Because it was their platform.
Yes.
It's that simple. So I urge people, when you're going to be on a show, remember whose platform you're on and just forget all that prima donna
stuff. Follow their rules.
Forget all that other stuff. And if they have a format that is just simply unacceptable to you, just say thank you, no thank you.
Right.
And go on with your life. Yeah. But otherwise, have some flexibility. Don't let that stuff get in the way, and just open your mind to the opportunities that are before you. And as a host, you have a responsibility to have a simple process that gathers everything that you need, nothing that you don't, and makes it easy and fun for the guest. Because ultimately, the guest, other than you, decides whether or not that episode will ever see the light of day.
Yeah, because you want them to promote it. You want them to have had such a good time that they're promoting it. You know, and I hope that my process is simple. I'm like you. I have a form that needs to be submitted. And, you know, and now, am I 100% with that? No. Because there are people who I know, you know, all these various things. But if I don't know somebody, then I need that form filled out. And I tell them, you know, I need it in the format that is the best for us. You know, and then same thing with when we get ready to do the interview. They'll say, well, we sent you the one sheet. No. I have a form. You can cut and you can paste. My favorite, you'll love this. I had, now this was a PR firm that did this. And, you know, I was very interested in the guest. And that's why we continued the conversation. Because the PR firm was okay. But it was a great guest, great topic, things like that. And so, you know, we send the form to say, hey, you know, here's the information that we require. And I'm very careful. It's not request, it's require.
Yeah.
You know, because request gives you an option to not do it. And so we say require. And the response I got back was, it's your job to do the research on this person. And my producer, who is in New Jersey and I'm in Atlanta, heard me yell.
Oh boy. You said Hotlanta.
Yeah.
You said New Jersey. And I got friends in both of those places.
I know.
So they're watching, they're laughing.
Yep.
In fact, I'm gonna make sure my Jersey friends and my Georgia friends see this one so we can all laugh together.
We love this, yo. And she knew what my reaction was. I mean, and so I went back to that person and I said, not acceptable. I mean, I was not polite. I was not nice. I said, not acceptable. If you want your person, you know, whoever it was, to be on our program, you will follow our rules. And that was it. Now I got back the required information. I mean, you know, there was that, but then, you know, I hit it off with the guest. We had a great interview. And afterwards we were just kind of chit chatting for a couple of minutes. And I said, can I tell you something? I said, how long have you been doing this? And he said, not real long. And I said, how happy have you been with the results you're getting? And he said, well, to be honest, I would have thought that we would have been booked on more programs by now. And I kind of paused and I thought about it for a second. And then I said, I need to tell you something. You know, and so I told him what happened with that person. And I have no idea what happened from there. But, you know, it was like, I told him, so, you know, we don't request a lot of stuff, but to be told it's my job to go do it. No, that's not. And it was just, you know, it was, yeah, I try to make the process simple so that, you know, we don't get pushback on it. It's not, you know, I'm not telling them I need war and peace. You know, it's, I need, you know, 2 to 5 talking points or something like that. And a bio, a short bio.
Right.
And short bio is in big caps and all these various things. I got a 3-page one from somebody one time. And I'm like, and he was a professor. And it was his CV, you know, and I went back, I said, no, you know, and sometimes they are a little bit long and, you know, and if they're an author, I can typically find something shorter or I've been known to edit. And we say, you know, could be edited, you know, and some things like that. But
I remember all this from your process.
Yeah. You know, we're doing this in order to have the best possible interview. And, you know, and I think that's what people need to remember, whether you're hosting or being a guest, is it is about having the best interview. So what is that process? Yeah. You know, if they're used to, you know, we need this and we need that, then give it to them. And if you don't want to do it, then you go on to the next place. I mean, it's just that
precisely
simple.
Well, and let me add one other thing. And this is another reason why we have forms for our shows and I encourage other shows to do it as well. The data that's in that form is not just for me.
Right.
That's also for people further on down the line, because it's not me.
Right. It's what's used to promote it in social and
to our website. It's in most cases, it's not me writing up the blurbs for the episodes either. That's somebody else. So if they get the same raw data that I did, I don't have to be involved in that unless the actual content of the interview changes to such a degree that we need a new title. Other than that, I don't have to be involved. I record it and then I don't say anything to anybody because they get the notification that the recording is now available and they do the rest of it. There's a cigar shop I hang out here in Las Vegas and some of the regulars there have become fans of my podcast. And they know that on the Business Creators Radio Show, we have an episode go out on Tuesday. So if I walk in there on Tuesday or Wednesday, usually by that point, somebody's listen to the most recent episode and they'll say, hey, I caught your episode. It was great. And you know, the first thing I say is,
thank you.
I said, nah. And I say, what'd you like about it?
Ah, even better.
Do you know why?
To make sure they really listened.
Because I have no idea what episode ran.
I know. You know, and I'll be honest, I do that too. You know, sometimes we record weeks in advance for a variety of reasons. And so, so I need that information to get to my producer so that she can write up all the social stuff about it. But yeah, I'm, you know, by the time it's there, it's like, what'd we talk about?
pretty much, which because the way it works, and this is something that folks need to remember, is if that conversation that in the interview, the green room conversation after it has a next step to it, the host will mentally move on to the next step, whether that's a follow-up call, whether that's a mutual appearance, whether that's a speaking engagement, whether it's doing client work or what have you. The episode's recorded, they're done with that piece. Now that's what the producer does. And the producer even picks the dates, unless unless there was some stipulation like, Deb, if you were launching a book and you included my show on your list of stops on your podcast book tour and your book was coming out on November 9th, on November 9th, for example.
You don't want it to air on the 30th of November.
I'd do everything I reasonably could, if possible, to put it as close to the 9th as I could.
Right. Yeah, that's why I tell my guests, too, not that, that they need to remember that this is evergreen content. You know, yes, you might be promoting a book, you might be promoting a program, all those various things, but people can also be listening to this years from now. Hopefully they are, right? You know, and so I had somebody contact me one time. It was so funny. He said, remember when I was on your podcast? And I very politely said, sure. And he said, I talked about, you know, the next 10 people who called would get a 10% discount. He said, I'm still getting those calls. And it's been 3 years. And bless him, he still gave the discount. Which was, of course, very good from his perspective, from, you know, from a business perspective. But yeah, it was so funny. He's like, he said, it's just so funny that people are still listening to it. And I say, you know, that's why it needs to be evergreen content.
Yeah. Even if it is for something like a book launch, you can still structure it in such a way where it'll remain evergreen. Right. I mean, if you, I mean, if I'm listening to an episode that was from a book launch, it was from 2 years ago. As long as I can still buy that book.
Right. Then it's still perfect.
And if the book has been pulled off the shelf, well, you know, sometimes that happens too. At that point, however, I'll have the rational thought to say, yeah, this episode was a couple years old. So maybe they just don't publish that book anymore because it became outdated or what have you. However, this was still a great episode to listen to.
Because the content should still be good.
Exactly. That's where I was going with it.
Right. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times that you have the REACH system, and REACH is an acronym. So tell us what that stands for.
Okay. REACH stands for, well, R-E-A-C-H. The R stands for represent, reinvent, and reverberate your business and brand. This is the whole celebrity expert branding thing that goes with podcasting. E is engage your ideal prospects, clients, customers, and business allies. Remember what I said earlier? I described several different ways you could connect with new social media connections. And the one that gets the 99% likelihood of a positive response is, hey, Deb, nice to meet you. Would you like to be on my podcast? Well, the other thing is, podcast episodes, whether they're live or they're recorded, have a 99.something% yes show rate when the guest is actually supposed to show up and do the interview and the host is supposed to show up and do the interview. However, free strategy sessions have up to a 50% no show rate. Getting pitched or getting free advice is one of the easiest things you can lose if you're a little busy that day or just don't feel like doing it. So that's the E, engagement. The A is achieve greater presence and make a difference. So by using the new media to credentialize the influencers and thought leaders, you transform them into unpaid evangelists for their business and brand. The C, close more deals and create the business and lifestyle you deserve. Remember, open more conversations lead to more closed deals and expanded opportunities. And the H has a double meaning. Harmonize with your market and become the hunted, not the hunter. It's been so hilarious over the years of being a podcast host, remembering that before I got into podcasting, all those people that I tried to reach out to and make connections with would just turn their nose up at me and couldn't just even do me the decency of ignoring me. They had to be nasty and responding to me. And then some of those same people come saying, oh, I see you have a podcast. Can I be on? Sometimes I let him in.
Uh-huh.
And then sit, and then in the green room say, hey, remember that time when? Mm-hmm. And some of them, he actually knew that it was coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had that happen. And obviously, when you are just starting out, you're reaching out to people and saying, hey, can you be on my program? You know, once you're established, then it is, you know, if you build it, they will come. If you're doing a good job, then people will start, you know, really asking to be on your program. But yeah, I was reaching out, and I'd actually been on the air for a while, and I reached out to someone in our industry. Actually, and a leader in the industry. And I reached out to him and I said, hey, I've got this podcast. I see you've got such and such that's getting ready to happen. I would love to have you on as a guest. He responded very nice, very polite. Oh my gosh, I would love it. I know about your podcast. Here is, Betty Boop. She is my assistant. She does all my coordination.
Yeah.
So I email Betty Boop. And I get back from her, he was being polite, don't contact him again. And I thought, do I tattle? Or was that true? And so I just let it go. It's like, nah, this is not worth it. But you're right. A couple years later,
I had one of those happen to me. Finish your story and I'll tell you mine.
He came back to me and he said, I'd like to be on your podcast. And I thought about it and I decided, you know what? I'm going to tell him what happened. And he apologized, and then that was it. He never, and it was funny because the way he apologized, it was pretty clear he had told her, make her go away. But because he didn't say, oh my gosh, she did that before anything. I mean, it was just, sorry that happened. And the conversation ended. And it was like, okay, fine, dude. We're done, and so he burned a bridge. Now, maybe I'm an unimportant bridge for him, but I remember it. And there are some people I will tell who it was, especially if they're wanting to connect with him. I'm like, be very careful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a point I want to. And this is actually what I wanted to share. I've had those ones where the assistant said, yeah, contact. So the assistant said, yeah, well, the person you need to contact is so-and-so. Mm-hmm. So I contact so-and-so. And so-and-so says, yeah. And my assistant told you not to contact me. You better listen to that advice or some nasty thing like that. And now, meanwhile, I'm pretty sure that it was a one-man show and the guy was pretending to be his own assistant.
I love it.
Anyway, here's the point I want to make. And your viewers and my viewers who I'm referring to your show have just seen a phenomenon happen in real time. That is the Mutual Assistance Club. We podcasters know more of each other than the guests think they do.
Oh, yeah.
If we get stellar guests that we think are just so often, I'm not going to keep that guest to myself.
Right.
I'm going to say, hey, yeah, I saw somebody. And we do this in my group, Everything Podcasting, my discussion community. We actually have threads where we share this type of information openly. So
Because when one succeeds, we all succeed.
Yeah. If there's a great guest out there, I'll let you know. On the other hand, I will pull your coat.
If there's a putz,
let's say I dealt with some putz just a few days ago, and you and I happen to be randomly chatting online, and I'll say, hey, by the way, have you ever met so-and-so? You might say, no. Say, I'm going to pull your coat on this one. And usually that's all I have to say. And they're sunk.
Oh, yeah. It is. It's a very small world. I am more than happy to promote great guests. But yeah, if there's a problem child, shall we say, then, and same thing with firms. We were mentioning PR firms and people like that. And, one of the things that we require when we get information is they absolutely have to provide us with an email for the guest. Not their own email. Now we get their email because, we realize they're coordinating things, but I have to get an email for the guests. And I even say, if you do not provide it, they're not even considered.
I can make a list of the reasons why.
And they'll push back, and a lot of that is very sound. I mean, they're saying, well, we do all the coordination. we don't want you dealing with them and not with us, you know, all of those various things. But our the reason we do it is because sometimes we get contacted months in advance. And then when we go back to contact them to say, okay, we're ready to schedule your interview.
They're no longer with that
They're
firm.
No longer with them. And, and nobody is ever polite enough. I've never had it happen where they have said, we don't represent them anymore. Here's their information.
Well, yeah. And, there, and there's another pretty common thing. The is that booking firm going to be available live at the date and time in case the guest is having a hard time logging in and needs to reach out to us directly to make sure we can get them connected so we can do the interview? Unlikely.
You know, why need a phone number?
And here's another message that I would love for agencies to hear. As hosts, candidly, we don't have time to go poach your guests,
right?
To go around your back and everything. In fact, knowing that you represent this person makes me want them more because that raises my confidence level that they're vetted, they're qualified, they're good, and they're going to show up because they're not going to embarrass you,
right?
So all I need their contact information for is really for those. Hey, it's 302 and I'm trying to get in.
Did
Damn
something
it, where's
happen?
A link? That's it.
Right. Yeah. Or, oh my gosh, I woke up this morning and I have no voice. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, yeah, it's those emergency contacts. Yeah, I'm not going to go around anybody unless I'm not hearing back, you know, and then I will go directly to the guest and say, not quite sure what's happening, but. You know, I don't throw anybody under the bus, you know, anything like that. But that's why
email gremlins. I always assume email gremlins unless proven otherwise.
Very, very easy to have those happen. Well, you know, Adam, one of the things is, as we're talking about this, I'm sure people are thinking, okay, now you've kind of convinced me that I should do this and that there's some procedures and things that we need to do, but it still sounds hard. How do I even get started? And it's been long enough ago that I don't even quite remember all these things. And that is part of what you provide as a service is helping people get started. So, you know, we've convinced people they need to have a podcast. Now what?
Well, first of all, we also need to remind people that hosts are actually very nice. And we're here to help you. Yeah.
We're not the Geraldos of the world.
Yeah,
right?
let me tell you two funny things. For my Business Creators Radio show, which is audio only, even though we let them know that up front, 9 times out of 10, as soon as we log into the Zoom, boom, their video appears. And I'll say, you can lose the video. This is audio only. You can drink what you really want to.
Right.
So that's the first item. Exactly. And then the other item that I just really want people to understand is that it's a mutually beneficial relationship. And I also want them to understand that hosts are extremely busy. We are inundated with not only our own businesses and the logistics of our own shows, but we're also dealing with a lot of different guests. And in many cases, we're consolidating the recordings into as few days as month as possible. So we don't have these constant interruptions on our calendar. So we may say something like, I may say, hey, Deb, you know, it's so great to have you on the show. Now just give me a few minutes so I can remember why. Because I made the decision some time ago that I really wanted to have you on, but time has passed. So just learn to recognize
the flow.
Humor behind it. we really just want to have a good time with it. And I think that podcasting, launching and hosting your show is a great way to have a good time. Deb, you and I met. You joined my group Everything Podcasting because you were invited to by one of my producers. And then that same person came around to you a second time and said, Adam has a show. You want to be on it?
And I, of course, said, well, yes.
Yeah, that would be the Brilliance Plus Passion podcast, which are short interviews. They're basically spotlights. And those are my conversation openers. They're legitimate interviews. They're valuable. They have great content in them. But for me, they're conversation openers. That's what they're for. And so that's how we came together, by basically following some of the tenets of the Podcast Reach system, which, you know, the REACH. All right, let me give you a few things to consider when launching and hosting your podcast. Mm-hmm. A, I highly recommend it in almost all cases. Mm-hmm. It is going to be one of the most powerful and simple to use networking, client attraction, celebrity expert branding tools you're going to see.
Right.
When you have a process for your show flow, you use the pre-editing process in addition to what I call the Clint Eastwood director style, which I'll come back and define in just a moment. You have a separate dedicated website that you control that gives you all the flexibility to design your show however you want, feature whatever you want, optimize your episodes, including the language, the text, the graphics, all of it, however you want. That gives you an incredibly powerful tool to grow your business. So let me highlight a few things I want your listeners to consider. And I will do the Clint Eastwood director style first, because this really goes to the question.
I loved it. I saw it on your website.
This goes to the question of, is this really hard? Clint Eastwood, as we know, is an actor. And we also know that he's a director, and he's made a lot of films that have impacted our popular culture. And if you don't believe that, go ahead and make my day and argue with me and get off my lawn. Yeah. When he directs films, he has a role that, as much as possible, they do scenes in one take. There are no 30 different takes to get the voice just in such a way, or, hey, let's play with the lighting, or I just want to mess with the actors, or whatever. No. If it goes to the third take, there's an issue. He likes them in one take, two at most. Here are the reasons that he states he does this. The most important one is it creates a sense of moving forward. People are on these sets 10, 12 hours a day. Now, if you're on that set for 12 hours and all you've done is just refilm this one scene over and over again, that's going to be frustrating. But at the end of that same day, you've got 10 scenes in the can. Now things are happening.
You're ready to come to work the next day.
Exactly. And in order to achieve that, that leads to the other point, which is you do the work to make the scene great before you say action. So you make sure people have their scripts. You test the lighting. You test the sound. If you need to do a rehearsal, you do it before the camera goes on. Because once that camera goes on, they're going for the one take. That method has been criticized by a few people, saying, well, it's not really a pure way of directing. I think
seems to work.
His movies are pretty good. I mean, we're talking about him and not a lot of other directors. I mean, that's so apply that same thing to how you create your show flow and how you manage your episodes. You're going for a one take experience. You're going for something that requires little to no editing at all. I have a rule with my podcast. Unless it's a technical issue, nothing gets edited.
I leave it
Zoom
in.
It's live.
We
Zoom
say, live. We say, we say, you know,
You can cure that. You can cure that. Inside the podcast reach system, we have three different methods you can use to cure your verbal pauses if you choose to. So I want you to keep that in mind. Another thing that I want you to remember is, and I get some pushback on this, well, why should I have a website for my podcast? Can't I just use Anchor or Podbean? It's like, okay, you can. I'm not saying can't, but you have absolutely no control over the design of those platforms. You can do nothing on your own to optimize anything, even the graph display when you share it on Facebook. You can't even optimize that. So, which means you also have no optimization in your Google images search. I mean, when's the last time you saw a Podbean or an Anchor or a Blueberry episode in Google images search?
Never.
Think about it. However, you can dominate a Google image search when you control the episodes yourself.
I mean, it's all about that SEO juice, and it's yours.
Furthermore, advertising and sponsorship. I have a friend of mine who has a podcast that he chose to host through his primary business website, even though I encourage people not to do that. The argument is, well, I want my podcast on my business website because I'm trying to drive things in my business website.
You can suck
website.
Them in.
You can put banner ads for your business offerings on your podcast website, and it's still that same one click opening in a separate browser tab. Furthermore, and this is a problem that my friend had, he's running this podcast for about 3 months and he's hosting them on his business website. And then somebody comes in and says, yo, I'd love to sponsor your podcast. And they they offered a really big number because my friend's in a narrow but deep niche. They could not accommodate the sponsor because there was no room on a business website for somebody else's ads. With your own website, you can do that. You can even assign different ads to different categories. There are some WordPress themes, such as the Avada theme, which we recommend. You can create different templates for blog posts depending on what category. So if you have different tracks in your podcast, you can have different setups for sidebars, inline ads, and just say, okay, well, I'm going to assign it to category C. So it'll give me these ads. I'm going to assign it to category D. So it'll give me this and this. That's another piece of the power. Finally, when you have your own dedicated podcast website, you're not impacted by changes to your business brand. And most importantly, this is where the whole celebrity expert thing comes into play. You have, and I love your show, and this is the one we're on. It's the Power Hour show, if I'm saying that correctly.
The Business Power Hour.
The Business Power Hour, yes. Now, I know you have other websites as well, but this one has its own dedicated portal.
Yes, thebusinesspowerhour.com.
Exactly. So that's something people get used to. In the early days of the Business Creators Radio Show, the URL for that podcast is www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. I used to say, Google it and you'll find it. So I wouldn't have to spell out the URL. It's because I made the title match the URL. Let me add one other thing when it comes to search engine marketing and search engine optimization. When you use your show flow, when you use the pieces of your episode that are pre-scripted, when you use seed-based marketing to insert your own keywords and key phrases into the conversation, when your guest inserts their keywords and key phrases into the conversation, if you choose to have a transcript made and publish that, or even if you're doing show notes and you're pulling out key points, that language is more likely to make it into the written aspect of your podcast, the blurbs and such, which will then benefit your search engine optimization and search engine marketing for those titles and topics. This is another reason I say the guest. This is going to bring on one final point. This is why I say the guest. Don't tell me five different things you could talk about. Give me your damn title. Because, watch this. They know what they want to get optimized on. If you're on a podcast book tour, you want people to type in the title of that book and boom. And as a host, I want to get me a piece of that.
Right. So that's what those affiliate links are for.
I want people looking for you to find me.
You know, and one of the things I also wanted to point out is, you know, if your podcast is part of a larger entity, like mine is part of C-Suite Network, but we have a very clear agreement and understanding that the content is still mine. And that's the very important thing, because things happen, and you don't want your work, even if it, you know, 10 episodes, 100 episodes, 700 episodes, you don't want someone else to own it. So, you know, that is something. So if you are thinking about going with someone, you know, make sure that that is very clear that you own that content. And if they say no, then back out and make sure it's in writing. You know, this is something that you want to make sure, you know, and I mean, it's just very simple. You know, host maintains copyright, you know, maintains all content, rights to all content. I mean, very simple.
And this is another reason to have people fill out a form on their way to being on your show is you can make whatever your mutual usage rights are into a checkbox. Now, with my shows, I take a real simple approach. Share and share alike. If I use it, I mention your stuff. If you quote me in your book or you multi-purpose this content somewhere else, or even if you find a way to download the video and post it on your own website, you got to give my show credit.
You got to give
me credit. You got to give me a backlink. Other than that, I'm good.
Now, one, and I'm just going to toss this out there, tiny little short thing. One of the things is, once you're going and you've got your title, I did this last year. I filed the trademark application. And so I have the Business Power Hour trademarked. So no one else can use that name, or I can say, excuse me, you can't do that. Now, it was a process, and it was a process that was made worse because of COVID. It just took longer, and I had to hire an attorney. I mean, this was not, you know, and so it was not inexpensive, but I wanted my content to stay my content. And more importantly, I didn't want someone else to use the same name, trademark it, and then come back to me and say, you can't use that anymore, which would be what could happen. And so, you know, if you've got a podcast that you love, even if it's say your name, trademark it, you know, because if it gets popular, somebody might try and snag it.
Right. That, and I think if you are looking to do something like that, that's a great idea. And if you're creating a celebrity expert brand for your podcast, that's even more important, right, particularly if you have a very common name that there's 100 of in a phone book and you call it the My Name Show.
The Bob Smith Show.
There's a lot of Bob Smiths out there.
Yeah. So cool.
Adam,
I suppose. Yeah. We could go on forever because we just scratched the surface on this. I mean, you know, people are going to say, you know, what equipment should I use? What about this? What about that?
I'll answer that one for you real quick.
They go to makes you.
I'll answer the question real quick. Whatever makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm using a Logitech headset. Mm-hmm. You're using what looks like a pretty decent microphone. Mm-hmm. What I found will get you further faster with that is controlling the environment around you.
Right, right.
I think pretty clean right now, and you sound pretty clean. But if you had a lot of noise going on around you, it wouldn't sound so good.
Right.
If you were outside and there was a lot of ambient noise, that would change the whole flavor of it.
Right.
Look at your environment before you worry too much about equipment, because there's equipment for $100 that can do anything.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And that's what I tell people. This is not expensive. What ends up being probably one of the biggest expenses is hosting. You know, wherever you're hosting it, that might end up being an expense depending on, you know, and it's an ongoing one because you probably pay monthly. But yeah, you know, you can, one of the best headsets, now I don't do it because my hair would get messed up, but, you know, gaming headsets have, you know, very good earpieces and very good microphones. And those, you know, they're not going to run you a ton of money because they're aiming at kids, right?
Right.
But yeah, you know, it's get the equipment. Don't stress over it. You can always upgrade later if you think you need to. But the key is you just need to get started. And so one of the things, of course, and I'm sure we've still got people who are going, I don't know what to do. And so I want to send them to you, Adam, because you will walk them through this process. So tell us a little bit more about exactly what people do and the services that you provide.
All right. I encourage people to visit my website at www.thereachsystem.com. Mm-hmm. And there you'll find a variety of different resources. We have a webpage about it. If you want to watch a video version, we have a video training that explains to you how the podcast reach system works in detail. We also explain to you why you should do it, some of the foundational principles behind it, and the 8 relatively simple steps to getting a podcast launched and hosted as your key networking, client attraction, celebrity expert branding tool. So I encourage people to go to www.thereachsystem.com. If you want to have a conversation with me as a friend of Deb, you can find the link to do that as well.
Right.
You'll find it right there on the website.
There's a button. It says schedule a call.
Exactly. And it chases you around. If you are looking to join the conversation, I would encourage you to go to www.everythingpodcasting.group. I'll say that again, everythingpodcasting.group, not .com, because some domain broker is holding it hostage, but .group. And that'll show you how to join our community where we discuss, well, everything podcasting. We have live streams, we have community events. It's just a lot of fun, and you'll be with a great group of people. And Deb, I know you've peeked your head in there at least a few times, and we have a, you know, we have a jolly old picnic.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the great thing is people sharing information, because you know, it's not new. You know, everything, you know, nobody's doing something that is brand new. So if you have a question, if you have an issue, somebody's going to be there to help. And you know, it's like Adam was saying, we want to help other people become successful doing this.
Yes, indeed. And really, there's so much available out there. It's not a zero-sum game, and a rising tide buoys all ships. So anything that I can do to be of service, if you are watching or listening to this right now, and you're considering how your business building podcast can be your networking, client attraction, celebrity expert branding tool, and you can have the skill to have your taglines roll so neatly off your tongue as you serve from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion while making a difference for your community, market, and audience, I'm happy to assist.
Perfect. I love it. I love it.
I just, by the way, gave you one of the tactics, which is how sheer repetition just makes you good at your stock messaging.
Yeah. And it is one of those things, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And, you know, and so, you know, your first episodes, I will not go back and listen to my first. I don't know. I have no desire to go back and listen to those, but you know, it does get better and it gets easier, you know, all these various things. And so I want to encourage people to take that leap. You know, podcasting is, it's so much fun. I mean, that to me is one of the best things. You're going to meet great people. You will, you know, see an expansion of your business when you do it the right way. You know, and it's just, it's fabulous. And I tell people, I don't have to put my shoes on. I'm networking.
Oh, that's the best part.
My shoes on.
Yeah. Yeah. Meeting somebody for coffee can easily cost you $1,500.
Easily.
I cover that on my website as well. If I can leave your folks with just one final thought.
Perfect.
Because there may be some people listening to this saying, yeah, but I can just guest on podcasts. I don't need to go through all this. Hosting your own podcast is going to get you so many more guest bookings. And I can tell you two of the reasons why. Reason number one, hosts are going to look at you, seeing you host your own podcast with its own dedicated website, with its own branding around it. They're going to say, this is a pro. This is somebody who gets it. They are going to be the easiest and most fun guests to work with because they know what it's like to be a host. Going along with that, because you've invested that much in it, it's going to be assumed that you know how to do a good interview sight unseen. That will open up so many doors for you. And let me add number three is reciprocity.
Definitely.
If I've already interviewed you, the chances you're going to interview me go way up. I mean, we usually don't. I mean, the thing about filling out applications and one sheets and stuff usually becomes the, cool, get that to me before we do the interview versus jump through this hoop before I even look at your name.
Yeah. It's, oh yeah, I remember chatting with you. Happy to have you on my program.
Well, I mean, let's be candid. I interviewed you on Brilliance Plus Passion several months ago and your production team told me to wait until you're ready to do another season. And I was waiting for you to do another season. In fact, I was getting ready to follow up and say, hey, when are you booking that next season? And then just so happened that a few days before I was going to do that, your person, Kim, contacted me and said, all right, Deb's ready for you. Fill it out. And it was worded something like that too.
Oh yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what she said. Okay. We're ready for you now. I love it. Well, this has been absolutely fascinating and I would love to do it again because I think it is something that is a very critical business tool. I mean, you know, that's what it comes down to is it's something and it might end up being one of the only business tools that you have. You know, we're in a pandemic, we're not networking, we're not having meetings. We can expand our reach around the world by doing podcasting. So, you know, can't wait to talk to you again and we will definitely do that. I'm Deb Creer, been having a fascinating and fun discussion with Adam Homey. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.